Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passages and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear one question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D.
Passage 1. Today, I want to talk about levels of language usage. You probably have noticed that people express similar ideas in different ways, depending on the situation they are in. This is very natural. All languages have two general, broad categories or levels of usage: a formal level and an informal level. English is no exception. I'm not talking about correct and incorrect English. What I'm talking about are two levels of correct English. The difference in these two levels is the situation in which you use a particular level. Formal language is the kind of language you find in textbooks, reference books such as encyclopedias, and in business letters. For example, a letter to a university would be in formal style. You would also use formal English in compositions and essays that you write in school. People usually use formal English when they give classroom lectures or speeches and at ceremonies such as graduations. We also tend to use formal language in conversations with persons we don't know well, or with people we have a formal relationship with, such as professors, bosses, doctors, friends of parents, strangers, etc. Informal language is used in conversation with colleagues, family, and friends. And when we write personal notes or letters to close friends, as well as in diaries, etc. Formal language is different from informal language in several ways. However, today I'm going to talk only about a couple of ways. First of all, formal language tends to be more polite. Interestingly, it usually takes more words to be polite. For example, I might say to a friend or family member, "Close the door, please." But to a stranger or someone in authority, I probably would say, "Would you mind closing the door?" Or, "Excuse me, could you please close the door?" Using words like could and would makes my request sound more polite, but also more formal. I want to be polite, but not too formal with my friends and family.
Questions 11 to 13 are based on the passage you have just heard. 11. What does the passage mainly talk about?
12. In which of the following situations do we use informal language according to the passage?
13. What is going to be discussed next? Passage 2. A record company has released some funny songs first recorded many years ago by an American mathematics teacher named Tom Lehrer. The songs may be old, but they are still popular. Tom Lehrer was born in 1928 in New York City. He began college at Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts, when he was 15 years old. Today, he teaches mathematics to college students. Tom Lehrer is well known for writing and performing songs that make fun of society and its concerns. He wrote many of these songs in the 1940s and 50s. One example is the song "Who's Next?", which criticizes the spread of nuclear arms. Tom Lehrer made his first record in 1953. It became popular first among college students. Soon, he was performing at universities and other places. During the 1960s, he wrote songs for a popular television show. Also, he recorded a third album. It included a song called Pollution. It pretends to give advice to foreign visitors to the United States. Tom Lehrer is 72 years old now. He stopped performing in 1967. About 20 years ago, he wrote and recorded a few songs for the children's television show The Electric Company. The purpose of the show was to teach children to read.
Questions 14 to 16 are based on the passage you have just heard. 14. When and where was Tom Lehrer born?
15. What happened in 1953?
16. Which of the following is true about Tom Lehrer? Passage 3. Cellular phones or mobile phones are small, wireless, handheld devices. They are held close to the user's head during normal use. The antennas on these phones produce low levels of radio signal radiation while in use. Most of the debate about cell phones involves the amount of radiation they release. Scientists have known that intense exposure to electromagnetic radiation can harm human tissue. But they do not know if the small amounts of radiation from cell phone antennas can do serious damage. The issue first came to the public in 1993. A man from the American state of Florida said his wife died of brain cancer caused by radiation from her cell phone. He took legal action against the maker of the cell phone. However, the legal action was dismissed because of lack of scientific and medical evidence. Since then, there have been many charges made in the media and in the courts that cell phones may cause cancer. 7 years ago, the cell phone industry organized an independent research group to find out whether the telephones are safe. The industry provided $27 million for the group to carry out the study. Experts from the Wireless Technology Research Group recently announced some of their findings. The group generally found little evidence to link cell phone use and brain cancer. But lead researcher George Carlo says there is enough evidence to suggest that cell phones are not completely safe. He says there is strong evidence that high levels of cell phone radiation can cause genetic damage to blood cells. He also noted several small studies that linked cell phone use and tumors.
Questions 17 to 20 are based on the passage you have just heard. 17. What do you know about a cell phone from the passage?
18. What happened in 1993?
19. How much money was provided by the cell phone industry to carry out the study on cell phones?
20. Which of the following is true, according to the passage?
This is the end of listening comprehension.